He is in his first season with the Tigers. He led App State to a Sun Belt title last season, 12-1 at App State last year. Missouri with an enormous win over LSU on Saturday, 45-41. They're at number 10 Florida on October 24th. Eli Drinkwitz is my guest. Eli, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Man, I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing great. I am awesome. Now, you and I spoke before the season, and then you go right out and you beat LSU on Saturday. I do want to get into some of the details of that win, but before I do so, overall, man, how does it feel to have your first win in a new job be a win over the defending national champs?
Well, I mean, I think that's one of those things I'll look back and reflect on probably later in my life or in career. Right now, I was just so excited to get a win and what we had to fight through to get it, and how awesome it was in that locker room for not just me, for the players and the staff, the amount of time and effort and energy we put in to try to get that result and then to get it the way we did. I haven't really looked into the significance of what it is, but just enjoyed that.
Eli, you mentioned the locker room. So what was that like? What was it like to come back to the locker room after that game and shouting, "We are," and having your guys shout right back at you, "Mizzou"?
Yeah. I mean, it's just powerful. You know, these guys have sacrificed a ton. I've asked them to make a lot of sacrifices, and our coaches have asked to make a lot of sacrifices, you know, just to even have an opportunity to play the game. And then when you have to play the game, and sometimes you feel like the deck is stacked against you when you got guys out because of COVID, you're playing your third top 25 team, you haven't had spring football, to come out with the result that nobody expected, the locker room's it's just an awesome celebration. It's the best party that you can ever have.
Eli Drinkwitz joining us. All right, so to that point, let's be very clear about this. You were starting a redshirt freshman, a quarterback, who I'm going to get into in a minute. A redshirt freshman, a quarterback. You were missing two starting receivers, three of the top four defensive tackles, a couple of key backups. I mean, knowing that, it would be really easy for guys to think, man, we do not have a chance against the defending champs. So how would you describe the mindset of the team going into that game?
Yeah, this play mentality. You know, we talk about this play matters the most. And it's the only thing in football that you can control is how hard and how much effort you put into this play. And you don't worry about, I got to put in 65 plays, because really all you got to worry about is this play. And that's our mentality. Don't ever worry about the previous play or the final score. You just focus on this play and do your job to the very best of your ability on this play. And do that all game, and you never know what the result's going to be. And that really was our mentality. I mean, you could hear them when they were doing the review, on the ball that was cut short on the 1 yard line. Nick Bolton's yelling to the defense, "This play, this play, this play," and we just did that for four straight plays, and we won the football game. And that's when you know that you got a chance to be a good football team. You know, the craziest thing is our starting X receiver in the game was a walk on in January. We had open walk on tryouts. He came. Our director of recruiting said, "Hey, coach, there's this young kid. We watched him. We said, yeah, we'll let him, you know, be on the football team in the spring." And he starts and has five catches for 50-something yards against LSU.
Eli Drinkwitz joining us. That's wild. That's a wild element to this.
Yeah.
And then again, we are talking, though, about the fact that you had to go with a redshirt freshman, Connor Bazelak, as your starting quarterback. Now, you said, quote, "It's his opportunity." Like, what did you see in him to let you know that it was his time and that he was up to the task?
Connor's a great competitor, and he's got some – I mean, he's just got some moxie to him. He's got a natural skill set throwing the football. But he had played in a wishbone offense in high school, and wishbone's a tremendous offense. It's just not exactly what we're running with our pro-tempo stuff. So, you know, his senior year, I think he had less than 200 attempts throwing the football. So for us, you know, we're running curl flat concepts, and he's kind of thinking in his mind, you know, I know how to read the defensive end on veer, coach. Curl flat, that's a totally different concept for me. And so, and not to have spring, it took him a little while, and it's still taking him a little while to just learn and grow confidence in our offense. He's got the ability, but quarterback's all about having confidence and understanding the defense does this, this is my answer. The defense does this, this is what I got to do on this concept. And so we're still learning and growing, and he's got a bright future ahead of him. I'm extremely proud of Sean Robinson. He was just a tremendous teammate all week. Didn't pout, didn't have bad body language, was awesome, and was excited for us, and is a great quarterback himself. But it's just Connor's opportunity.
You know, Eli, I was going to ask you about Sean Robinson, but I thought you'd beat me to it, and you did. I mean, after the game, you did talk about him, and you said just that, that you were extremely proud of him for the way he handled that. I mean, what's it say about him that he took this path and that it did not go the other way? Because for so many other young players, it would have gone the other way.
It just talks about, I mean, his parents have done a tremendous job raising him. It talks about what kind of character he has, and it goes back to what I said earlier. It's a this play mentality. All you can really focus on in life is what's in front of you right now. And that's all you can control, and that's the mentality that he's taken. And he knows at some point he'll get another opportunity. It's just, what are you going to do in between? Are you going to prepare for that opportunity, or are you going to be CD, which is blame, complain, and defend? And he chose to focus on this play, this opportunity, put all my focus into it, and it'll work out for him. He's going to be a real success story in life just because he has that mentality.
You like go back to that, BCD. What does that mean?
Blame, complain, and defend. When something doesn't go your way in life, you can do one of two things. You can either own it and get better, or you can BCD, blame, complain, and defend. You blame poor performance. You complain about breaks just didn't go your way, or you defend behavior. We just don't do that.
Eli Trinkwitz is joining us. All right, so you end up losing the turnover battle in that game 3-0. Obviously, you're not excited about that. But what's that say about the group, that you lose that turnover battle? What's it say about their mental toughness that they can do that and find a way to overcome and not flinch?
Well, first off, it says we're going to run some gassers today. Practice turning football over. But again, it goes back to the mental toughness and focus component. You know, usually teams get divided. The defense starts pointing fingers at the offense, or the offense starts pointing fingers at the defense, you know, when there's turnovers or when there's touchdowns. I mean, at one point we were down 24-14, didn't flinch, went down there, tied it up. The very next play, the defense, you know, LSU threw a 75-yard bomb for a touchdown. Nobody flinched. They just went back out there and said, hey, let's just keep playing this play. And when we look at the scoreboard, it's going to turn in our favor, and that's how it played out for us.
All right, so you mentioned the end of the game. Let me go back to that really quickly. You score with just over 5 minutes left. You take a 45-41 lead. Then LSU goes on that long drive. They've got first and goal from the one-yard line with 37 seconds left. I understand the one-play mentality, but what's going through your head at that point?
Well, I knew they were going to tempo the inside zone with no edges. That's their M.O., so we had a great call on. We knew we could bring edge pressure and try to condense it as long as we got in our gaps. You know, the thought process was there was a coach on the sideline saying, coach, we should use a timeout to save us some clock, but if they score. And I said no, because I've been in that situation before. They had no timeouts. They've got to get their four best play calls called, and they got to do it with that time breathing down their neck. When they didn't get in on first down, you figure they're going to try some sort of run. They did. Didn't work. Third down, you knew had to be a pass. Otherwise, the clock would not stop, and they would be without of the game. So, you know, I think if they had it to do over again, they may not have called those same plays in succession. But for us, we kind of knew what was coming. It was kind of the same succession of plays they ran against Alabama last year in a similar goal line situation. The difference was their running back was able to get it in. But they ran the exact same kind of screen crack play for their tight end, and we were able to knock it down. And then fourth down, I mean, just a great play by our senior safety, Josh Bledsoe.
So when you're building a program, how valuable is a win like that, and the ability to point to the win as evidence that the process does work if everybody buys in?
Yeah, I mean, I think the key to it is continually keeping it going. It can't just be a one-and-done moment. You know, it's got to be, okay, this stuff works, all right, but that doesn't mean we just sit here and go pat ourselves on the back the rest of the week. It means today we go in there and we address the fact that we had too many turnovers and we had some mistakes and things we got to fix. You got to build and continue to ride the wave, ride the momentum, and that's really what we're going to try to do. I do think it tends to get people to understand that this isn't just talk. You know, talk's cheap. Everybody wants to see they want to see the action. They want to see the results. And so far we've been able to give them one result, but one is not nearly enough. You know, at Mizzou, we plan on winning the SEC East, and that's the goal. That's why we're here, and we got a long way to go to get there.
He is the head coach at Missouri. So one last thought. Initially, you were supposed to play Vanderbilt this weekend. That game has been postponed. What's your reaction to that news, and how much does that change how you approach this week?
Well, it totally changes how I approach the week. The week has now become self-reflective. Where can we get better? You know, we've played three top 25 teams. We're going to play a fourth top 25 team in a row. And so how do we improve? How do we get our guys healthy? And then can we get refocused on our academics? You know, this is midterm week for us, so it comes at a good time so guys can really focus on their studies. My initial was, you know, when it happens, the first thing you do is want to make sure that everybody at Vandy's safe and okay. I mean, we are facing a pandemic that is worldwide, and so it's not really about, you know, that stinks that we can't play football. It's about first making sure that all the players and staff at Vandy are and get healthy, and we send them our well wishes. And then once that gets taken care of, then we'll resume the world of football.
Missouri coming off that huge win over LSU on Saturday, 45-41. Next up, they've got number 10 Florida. That's on October 24th. Their head football coach in his first season with the Tigers is Eli Drinkwitz. Eli, congrats on the win. I know you're already looking ahead to the next thing and getting your guys ready, but it's always good to have you on this program. Thank you so much for that.
Appreciate you. Thanks for having me, Jim.
Appreciate you too, Eli. Always. What a great win that was. An amazing first win for him at Missouri. And knowing Eli, I know he's not surprised by that. Happy and proud of the effort, but not surprised by that. So they were supposed to play Vandy. That's not going to happen. Next up, they've got number 10 Florida coming up on October 24th. All right, so let me reset you very quickly. Third hour is now officially wide open. We've done all three interviews. We had Notre Dame head football coach Brian Kelly on in hour number one. I had Minnesota Twins starting pitcher Jake Odorizzi. This hour, that's Eli Drinkwitz, and already doing a really good job there, obviously.